Good morning. Thankful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I always count it a great privilege to sit and, you know, worship is a transaction between us and the Lord. We give Him what He desires and we get things from Him. And that's the way it ought to be. I pray this morning, my prayer and desire is that the Lord would bless us this morning. I feel like the Lord has given me a real challenge in my own life, and my prayer is that we would all get this same challenge this morning. I want to go to Exodus 3 and the 7th verse. You know, I'm thankful for the special song that was just sung. The Lord wanted to send us someone that would come and allow us to possess the land that He has for each one of us. Did you know we have land? And I think about the scripture that says that the law was a shadow of good things to come. Those things that happened back then to the children of Israel were types of things that the Lord wanted to do in the hearts and the souls of mankind. And we will look into that a little bit. Exodus 3 and verse 7, the children of Israel were in Egypt, and they did not have easy lives. They had to work hard. It says that the children of Israel were in the land of Goshen, and it was the land that they had been living in, and it said, and then there arose another king that knew not Joseph. Somebody that had forgotten the promises that had been promised to this people. And so he said, you know what? I got things I need, and here's some people that's going to make it happen. And so he put them under hard labor. And after a while, he said, you're too idle. You're not going to get your own, you're not going to have your straw given to you anymore. I want you to go get it yourself, because y'all don't have enough to do. You're not as profitable to me as you could be. And so, by and by, they became oppressed, an oppressed people. And it says that their cry reached the Lord's ears. In the 7th verse, it says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large. I want us to notice those words. A good land and a large land. That's what He wanted to give to His people. You know, it's the same way today, that the Lord wants to bring us to a good land and a large land, a land with prosperity. I'm not talking about a piece of property in the United States or some other country. I'm talking about in our hearts, we have land that belongs to us. It was promised to us. The land of Israel was promised to Abraham for his seed forever. And we have land that is also promised to us. And the Lord wants us to have that land. A good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Uh-oh. There's already some people living there. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6. First verse. Got quite a bit of reading. Desire your prayers this morning. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. I would that these words of this chapter would sink down into all of our ears, because they mean something. They're important. I don't have time this morning to go down and just extract everything and unpack it all. But if we would go home and study these words, there's a great application to us today. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. I can just hear the entreating and the desire of the Lord. I want my people to prosper. I want them to have a good and a large land. I want them to have all the things that this land has to offer. The land of Israel was a very fertile ground. It had gardens and vineyards, and things flourished. The plants grew and big trees. They had quarries and timber and gold, and they had all kinds of stuff. They had everything they needed to be prosperous in that land. And the Lord wanted to give. He said it flows with milk and honey. It overflows. It's just exuding with these things. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them. Talk of what? The things that the Lord wants us to do. And shalt talk of them when? At worship time? If we have time for that. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. And when thou walkest by the way. And when thou liest down. And when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I want you to do things that will remind you of what the Lord brought you from and what the Lord wants you to do. Wherever you go and whatever you do, I want you to do things to where you can't really say, you know what? I got busy and I forgot about this. Well, you had it written on the doorpost and you had it over here. He wanted them to observe these things for what? So that it would be well with them, it says, in the land that flowed with milk and honey. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. It's all going to be set up for you when you get there. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the house, the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. How would you tempt the Lord? You know what Massah was? The children of Israel came to, I believe it was the Mount of Horeb. And they said they were thirsty and they didn't have immediate supply of water. And it says they tempted the Lord because they said, is the Lord among us or not? That's how they tempted the Lord. It said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee, And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out thine enemies, all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? And I'll add to this, thy son that didn't know anything about what Egypt was. Then I like this answer. Then thou shalt say to thy son. Well, that's just the way we've always done it. That's the way the saints have always, I don't understand it, but you know that's the way the saints have taught. That's the way that, or maybe we won't say that, but we'll say, I'm scared of going to hell and so I'm gonna do this, and we've gotta do this because this is the only recourse we've got. We've got to do these commandments. I've been reading about modern Judaism a little bit, and they have what they call the 613 Mishnah. That is the number of laws that they believe that if they observe those laws, that God will let them into heaven. And they've counted them, 613 of them. And they say, they themselves, in their writings, you can get on the internet and find this in their blogs and things, they say the people that are not blood Jews have it better. Because God, they'll get to heaven too, but the requirement is a lot less stringent. The Lord only requires them to observe the commandments that He laid out in the covenant He made with Noah. Six or seven things. You shall not shed blood. I don't even remember all of them. I want us to look at this answer. When thy son comes and asks you, Dad, what do all these things mean? Why do we have to keep the Sabbath? What's all this about? We have, you know, we're prosperous and we live in the wealthiest country on earth here in Israel. And we have all this stuff, but why are we so careful? Why do we observe the Sabbath? Why can't I go pick up sticks on the Sabbath day? Why do we have to do this and why do we do that? And then thou shalt say to thy son, let me tell you about Egypt. Son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Son, let me tell you about Egypt. You don't know anything about Egypt. You didn't live in Egypt, but I did. I know what it means to work 18 hours a day, 6 and 7 days a week. I know what it means to work my fingers to the bone, all for the profit of somebody else. I didn't see the fruit of my labor. All it was toil all day long, and it was to build somebody else's treasure houses, somebody else's statues, somebody else's temples and palaces. I didn't see anything from it, and as a gift of gratitude, they said we didn't have enough to do because they noticed that we had a little bit of spare time, and so they proceeded to fill that too. And their greatest goal was to see how much they could get out of us. We don't want anything to do with Egypt. And it says that the Lord, son, I want to tell you what happened. The Lord brought us out with a mighty hand. We went to a Red Sea. And there wasn't any way to get across that thing. We didn't have any boats, and we were being chased by the Egyptian army, and I saw the water pile up on each side. I saw it myself. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And son, that water piled up. And we went over, but what do you think happened when the Egyptians tried to go over? Those laws of nature took effect again that God had suspended for a little bit. I don't know how He held the water back. I guess the one that created it all can do whatever he wants. But son, the Lord delivered us. And it says in Exodus, I don't remember where, that there remained not so much as one of them. The Egyptians that thou hast seen this day, you will see them again no more. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Now I've spent a little bit of time talking about how important it is to obey the commandments of the Lord. And that is important, but that's really not my burden this morning. My burden is that we would get a vision of the land that the Lord has for each one of us, and that we would go in and possess that land. We have land. It's called the plan of the complete plan of salvation. And when we give our lives to the Lord and the Lord fills us with His Spirit, it is the spiritual fulfillment of when the Lord brought the children of Israel with a mighty hand from the land of Egypt to the land, a good land and a large land that flowed with milk and honey. And that's what, in a spiritual sense, the Lord wants to take every one of us to. And when we get there, the Lord wants us to start throwing our giants out. Because they own our land. Do you understand? Sometimes we focus on the giants themselves and say, you know what? I know I can't go to heaven with this, and I know the Lord wants us to get the giants out, and I know all that. I want us to get a vision of why the giants need to go. Because they have land that it belongs to us. You know, Israel was a prosperous land. Do we possess any land? Deuteronomy 7, verse 22. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. You know, it's the same way with us today. I don't want to be misunderstood here this morning. The Lord will not bless a life that's full of sin. We cannot live saved and be full of the sins that we know are wrong and commit and commit and commit. That's not the way it works. But there are things when we get saved and when the Lord fills us with His Spirit. Now I want to tell you, when I got saved, I was 16 years old. And I was one rough character. And I look back at the years past and I think, well, how in the world was I even saved? I'm not talking about I'm talking about things I didn't even realize, giants that were in my life. But as I got understanding of what they were, you know, the Lord started putting His finger on this one and that one. And you know what? In 10 more years, I'm sure I will look upon my life and say, wow, I got rid of this giant and that giant and this giant, and I didn't even know they existed, but they're there. When we enter the land of Canaan, in a spiritual sense, we have giants that need to be overthrown. And the Lord will help us to do that. You know, it says that you may not consume them all at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. What do you think would happen if you got sanctified and all of a sudden, all your weaknesses and all of your foes and all the things, the thought patterns in your mind and whatever, you know who you are. And all that just went poof. It's gone. You'd probably be the proudest, most unmerciful person in the world. Lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. What do you think would have happened to the Israelites if they went into the land and this guy said, You know, I only have enough, I've got enough servants and enough resources to maintain 40 acres, but he went and tried to conquer 2,000. Now, I want all this land. I want this 2,000 acres. What do you think that land would look like after a while? There'd be wild animals running through it. You know, but as they had resources, and as they needed, and as they had understanding, the Lord threw those giants out little by little. And I don't want us to dwell too much on the little by little and use that as an excuse to say, you know what, I'll take care of that later. I believe that when the Lord gives us understanding on something, that is the point in time where we have the strength by the power of the Lord to say, all right, this guy's got my land. It's mine. There's a silver mine there. I want it. And I'm going to get rid of that guy. This thing doesn't belong to you anymore. You know, I want to go to Judges, the first chapter, and look at a few verses here and start maybe about the 21st verse. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. Now we know that later that actually did take place, that they overthrew it, they set it up for the capital city, so this was evidently written before that time. But in the 28th verse it says, it came to pass when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. In other words, when they had the capability to overthrow the giants, they didn't do it. Now, is there ever a time where in our own strength we have the ability to throw out a giant? No. But we know when the Lord puts his finger on something and says, child, when the Lord reveals to us knowledge, that is the point in time where we're strong enough to begin the battle. And our will plus the Lord's power is always just enough to drive out the giants. And let's go down, let's read a little bit more in here. 28th verse, came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. And it goes farther and gives a list of the different tribes and the guys that they did not drive out. And in the second chapter, the first verse, and an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. You ever got a thorn in your finger? We have at home these bushes that kind of, they want to spring up everywhere, and so they grow around the perimeter of our property where it doesn't get mowed. And when we moved to Kentucky, we just called them thorn bushes, and the natives said, no, these are called devil bushes. That's what we call them. And we're like, well, why do you call them that? Well, I know. Because it isn't just a matter of getting stuck with a thorn and pulling it back out. You try to walk through there. You want to go for a walk in the woods, and you have to get past all these bushes that line the woods. They're everywhere. And they'll grab your skin and your clothes and just rip and tear and leave the thorns in there. And you can pull it out. But for a long time, I don't know if it's got some sort of poison in it or what, but it'll fester. Even after you pull it all out, it'll be painful and your finger will swell up. And you ever tried to work with a thorn? What do you think would happen? It says that Ephraim didn't drive out the Canaanites. Zebulun didn't drive out the Canaanites. Asher didn't drive out the Canaanites. So what would you think would happen? I'm a carpenter. I use my hands a lot. And if I had a thorn in each finger, I couldn't pick anything up really, because you go and you try to touch something. Oh! You know, you're inhibited, you're hindered. You don't have the potential that you had, and your work suffers, and everything you do is inhibited because of the pain. This is what this is talking about. It's going to be as a thorn, and their gods are going to be a snare to you. You know, it says it came to pass when Israel was strong. The Lord took the Israelites from Egypt. And it looks like after 40 years in the wilderness that those guys would have learned their lesson. Because the children that were in that land, it says everybody under 20 is going to go in the land. So there were people that went in that were 50, 55 years old. And they had seen, and even during that time, the Lord kept them. But when they got into that land, they got strong. They got prosperous, but then they limited themselves. They said, you know what? I've got everything. I've got my 40 acres here. I've got my house. I didn't build my house. I didn't plant my vineyard. And I know there's a silver mine back here. I know there's a stone quarry over here, and it could be mine, but I've got all I want. I don't need that. Because I don't want to drive out. I don't want to take the time to do that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to charge him tribute. I'm going to make him pay tribute. I want us to think about what happens when we are strong and we don't put the giants out. The land. The giants have land that belongs to me. There's mines, there's timber, there's all the things. Remember what the Lord said. He said, I want to make you wealthy. I want you to prosper. I want to bring you into a good and a large land. I want you to have all these things. And when they left the giants, there were things that they couldn't have because the giants had them. The giants had those good things, and so they were limited. Maybe the giants had a piece of land here. And you know what happened in some of those cases? If you read back there in Judges 1, the 34th verse, it says, and the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain. This was after they had supposedly been conquering the land of Canaan for a while. It says, the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come to the valley. Well, it's fine to have mountain land, but in the valley is where your crops grow good. It's where the rivers are. You can have the stone quarries and the silver mines and all that up in the mountain, but you gotta have some other stuff too. You've gotta have some gardens. You've gotta have some way to feed yourself. Said they wouldn't let them come down to the valley. What do you think that they did? It inhibits you when you don't get rid of the giants that are in your land. If they wanted, maybe they lived between there and between where the children of Dan were and somewhere else. Said they wouldn't let them come down to the valley. So what do you think would happen when they wanted to go somewhere? They'd have to go around them. It's a lot longer way. That means that the merchants' routes are a lot less profitable. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to draw a picture here of what happens when we let the giants there. Sure, the giants were there when they got there. Were they saved? Absolutely. Did they have the Lord's blessing upon them? Absolutely. But as time went on, the Lord said, you know what? I want you to begin to possess this. I want you to take this land. This giant's got this. I think a lot of times we look at the giants and we don't really look at the land. We need to get a vision of what could I do if I had that land. That giants had this all, maybe it's, let's, you know, it was talking about children asking, what if the son asks the father, you know, why are we doing this? And then the son says, well, if the Lord gave us all this land, why don't you have the 100 acres that's got the gold mine back of your house? And daddy says, you know what? I never was able to conquer that. Maybe when you get bigger and when you inherit my land, you can. What a sad thing. Did you know sometimes I know weaknesses and things can pass from generation to generation, but the Lord is powerful enough to break those things. I believe there comes a time in people's lives. I know of several weaknesses, giants and things that have been in my life. And I remember that the Lord came to me one time and says, you've got this mountain in your life and you've been skirting around it for years and years. All your life you've been skirting around it. And you know what? Maybe your granddaddy had the problem. Maybe your daddy had the problem. But did you know that the Lord has power for us to look at that and say, you know what, Mr. Giant? Granddaddy couldn't drive it out. Daddy couldn't drive it out. But by the help of the Lord, this land is not going to belong to you anymore. I'm going to take this land. What could I do if I had that land? I could do so much with it. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. We were talking about business. And he said, you know what? My brother-in-law's been talking to me. This friend of mine told me this. And he said, he gave me some really good stuff to think about in my business. My friend's starting up a new business, or he's growing it. He's had it for a while. And he said, my brother-in-law told me, find the cap to your business. Find the cap to your success. What is it? Is it marketing? Are you not getting your product out to the people? Are you not getting the information out? Would people buy more if you could get it out? If that's the problem, then put up some signs. Go knock on doors. Whatever you got to do. Is your problem your capital? Do you not have enough money to produce enough to sell? You got plenty of customers maybe, and they know what you can do, but you don't have enough money to do. If that's the problem, go get a business loan. I'm not trying to tell us how to run a business, but he said, find what the cap is. And then when you take care of that, find the next cap. Because there will always be a limiter on your success. And once you take care of one, then there will be another one. You'll be more successful than you were before, but then there will be more potential and you'll be able to do more, but then there will be another cap. So now I've taken care of the marketing. And I've got the word out, everybody. But now I don't have enough equipment in my shop. I've got the money, but I don't have the equipment. So what's the answer? I'm going to go buy more equipment. Well, my shop's not big enough, so I'm going to add on to my shop. You understand? Every time we find the cap, we're going to find the next cap. But when we do that and we identify the cap to our success, yeah, I know that's what, but you know what? That's something that's been in my family for a long, long time. And I believe, I can go to heaven like that. You know what? I know the Lord knows it's a family weakness. But what's the cap to our spiritual success? What could I do if I took that land? What could I do? Sometimes I think that we'll hit that cap, whatever that cap is, and we'll stay there for years and years and years. And if it was gone, we could do so much more. But we sit there and we come to church. Yeah, I'm coming to church every time, but I'm all cowed down. I can't ever say anything. Can't ever testify because I don't really have the victory in my life and because I just can't. But if I had this gone, I could do this and this and this. What kind of giants do we have that's keeping land that belongs to us this morning? May the Lord help us today. It says, I want to go to Deuteronomy 2 and verse 24. Before they ever even crossed the Jordan River, the Lord said, rise up, take your journey, pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and shall be in anguish of thee. Here's what I want to get out of this scripture. A lot of times we look at giants as these great big things that are so powerful and they are. But they fear and tremble before the Lord.
Yes, amen.
A lot of times I've found in my own personal life that when I said, all right, this giant's gonna go. Do you know the Lord sent hornets to drive out people? He made the walls of Jericho to fall down. He did all those kind of things. Rahab told the people, we're scared of you. We've got this big city, but we're scared of you. Why? The walls of Jericho don't mean anything, and she knew it. And the people there knew it. And the giants in our lives know it too. Because the power that we serve, the Lord, is able to send the spiritual hornets and the spiritual hailstones and the spiritual brimstone and the spiritual earthquakes and all those things, it's not in our own power. We couldn't destroy a giant one if we mustered all of the energy and all of the effort that we could. But this is the beauty of the whole thing, that the Lord said, I want you to have land. It belongs to you. I'm going to give it to you. And when you go to conquer the giants, then I'm going to drive them out for you. And so what are we waiting for? When the Lord identifies our giants in our life, the first thing we need to do is say, Lord, if you want me to do this, I'm going to do it. But it's going to be in your own power. And get a vision. What could I do if I got rid of that? If that was out of my life, maybe it's been in my life for 50 years. Doesn't matter. Caleb said, I'm 85 years old. I want that mountain. Give me that mountain. I'm still strong enough. Maybe he wasn't super strong, but you know what? The Lord was with him. Do we think, is the Lord among us or not? Yes, he is. Let's be encouraged this morning. My prayer is that each one of us will identify the cap to our success. And then identify the next cap. We have land. We have gold mines. We have milk and honey. It's right there before us. Let's get it. Y'all pray for me. Yes, amen.